All right, can everyone hear me? Thumbs up. Very good. My name is Jason Langone. I'm here from ComputerShare in Canton, Massachusetts today to talk to you about disaster recovery, a very popular theme this VM world. Quick background about myself. I started in IT about 10 years ago at Charles E. Smith in Washington, D.C. From there, I went to Citrix in Fort Lauderdale, where I got my first taste of virtualization with VMware Workstation. We would build up test environments, put the latest developer code on it, watch everything break, and then revert back to scratch. From there, I went to a large healthcare company in southern Massachusetts, where we had approximately 10 ESX servers and a little over 100 virtual machines. About 6 months ago, I came to ComputerShare, where we have a little over 80 ESX servers and close to 400 virtual machines. There we go. So some of the benefits of using virtualization and disaster recovery, some are pretty obvious. Virtual machines are very portable. You got your VMX and your VMDK file. That's really all you're worried about. So it makes moving them to other systems, to other hardware, very easy. By just focusing on recovering virtual machines, you really simplify the process, which should theoretically reduce the time drastically. Instead of having to build up, you know, complex application environments, you just focus on the same recovery method for everything. We'll look at the first case study, which is Acme Health Services, to keep the name out of it. And it was a primarily physical shock. 10 ESX boxes, a little over 100 virtual machines, vast majority were dev and QA, as I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. Some of the Tier 1 applications, Active Directory, Documentum, SQL, IIS, Citrix, the usual suspects. And their methodology, unfortunately, was a bit rough. They would send their tapes off-site to Iron Mountain. In the event of a disaster, those tapes would be sent to the SunGuard site in Philly or New Jersey, and then they would dispatch two engineers. Could be two senior engineers, could be two junior engineers. Whoever they could get a hold of would be dispatched to SunGuard. Once they got to SunGuard, they'd be greeted with 20-some-odd physical machines that just had the OS loaded. So they had to patch, install service packs, and, you know, do post-build things, move the page file, and then start the painful process of installing applications. The Documentum book was a little over 100 pages. It referenced systems that no longer existed, and it was painful. So some of the obstacles are obvious that it's a manual process. You get down there, and now I'm installing SQL. I may not be a SQL admin. I'm installing these complex, you know, web methods, web logic, these application environments that server people often don't have the skills, and they often try to keep their hands out of the application stuff as much as possible. So we'll kind of look at what we did at Acme. The big push that I had was to get all of the primary Tier 1 boxes to virtual machines. We used PlateSpin for a vast majority. We used Ghost Process, tried a few things, use whatever works for you. As we were able to get some things to virtual machines, it really made their recovery process a lot easier. Kind of see as we move a little forward. So the first test was before I got there. It took them approximately 3 days of digging through documentation, rebuilding these application environments that a lot of people, you know, there may be three web methods administrators in the whole company, and they weren't allowed to participate in the test. The whole point of the test was server engineers would build up these environments they really had no clue about. So the average time before I showed up was about 3 days. For the first DR test, step aside a little bit, their DR test did not involve a tie-in back to production, meaning I had to bring up an Active Directory at SunGuard. They really had no tie-in to our production day-to-day Active Directory environment. So that was really the first case that I pitched to get everything to virtualization, is that we used Dell hardware at Acme, and we were recovering the Compaq servers. And for those that may have done dissimilar DC restores before, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. There's a few knowledge base articles out there, a few white papers. Sometimes you're successful, sometimes you're not. In our case, it wasn't reliable enough to trust for our DR test. So what I did was bring up a virtual machine in each domain. We had two domains that we were primarily concerned with. put them in a site of themselves. An AD site is based on a subnet, so essentially the subnet was just their IP. So you got these two virtual machine domain controllers sitting out there, not serving clients, but soaking up the replica. So they have an active replica on them. When it's time for a DR test, you peel off your virtual machine, and you've got AD ready to go. In a real disaster, you obviously wouldn't have to do that. But this is what we had to do for the test. As you can see here, the recovery time was pretty significant between the two. Me and a coworker sent down to New Jersey SunGuard site for this test, and I started to build up my two ESX boxes. She started to build all of the physical boxes. It took me 45 minutes or so to build up my pair of ESX servers. Once I kicked that off, I used ESX Ranger to do our virtual machine backup and restores. So while the ESX servers were installing, waiting for my yellow line to get to the other end, I installed ESX Ranger on a workstation, did my tape restores there, and then once ESX finished installing, I had ESX Ranger ready to roll, and I was able to restore my two virtual machine domain controllers. From beginning to end, it took about 4 hours. This is an hour of setting up and pulling out CDs and getting ready, loading tapes. Another hour, and that's pretty generous, to build up the pair of ESX servers. Another hour or so to do my ESX Ranger restores. And then since this was a DR test and I wasn't tied into production AD, I had to kind of clean up the AD site because Replimon was screaming at me at this point. So once I did all of that, I was able, you know, users were able to authenticate, and the environment was ready to roll. Unfortunately, the test still took about 3 days to finish. We still had our issues with the application environment. But the good news is, and the good news that we brought back for the postmortem, was that the virtual machines were very, very, very easy to recover. So between the first and second test, I really pushed to get all of the Tier 1 apps moved to virtual machines. We used PlateSim for a lot of it. And once we were able to get everything as virtual machines, it really made everything a lot easier. We moved DCs, Citrix, SQL, everything, once we got it there, was a far easier recovery process. We moved to, if I can get it there. There we go. So the base test is, 6 months prior to our virtualization effort, 3 days to recover. The first test is just the DCs. And as you can see, it was very small recovery time compared to the physical servers in the environment. And for the final test, which was scheduled 6 months after the fact, a little over 6.5 hours to recover everything. Now, their environment wasn't a lot of data. It wasn't tons and tons of terabytes. It was just a lot of servers with very complex configurations and very tedious documentation to follow. The vast majority of their data sat on an AS400, so if you had a lot of gigs or terabytes to recover, it certainly would peak you out the recovery time of it. But still, it was a very easy process. Another note for the second test is that I really didn't touch anything. I put some documentation together between tests one and two, turned it over to someone who had very minimal ESX experience, and I just kind of sat in the background, watched her go through the documentation, and it went pretty well. A few notes I had to make to the documentation for later, but it was very, very successful. Now, ComputerShare is an entirely different animal. They've invested a lot of money in their data centers. They've got a lot of virtual machines and pretty much the same applications, IIS, SQL, SharePoint, some custom financial applications that run the 401k management system. And ComputerShare has two sites. They've got site A and site B, and there's a flat network between the two, so I can vMotion between site A and B seamlessly. And I've got synchronous SAN replication. ComputerShare uses HT blades. They're VL25Ps, 16 gigs of RAM. That 8 in a chassis, 2 chassis makes up a farm. And we're using EVA 8000s on the back end for storage with the HT's TA product doing the replication. So since it is synchronous replication, my data in Site A is the exact same as it is in Site B. Unfortunately, for this large investment by ComputerShare, it was still a manual process. If I lose a blade, how do I recover my virtual machines? I'm, restoring VMX files or hand-building new VMX files. If I lose a site, it was quite tedious. And another thing that we actually had happen is we lost one of the EVA 8000s that went down unexpectedly, and we had to go in and do rescans of all of the servers in the environment. Site A fails over to site B. I've now got storage in site B, but to update those paths, I had to rescan. So we had four people logging into MUIs or SSH in to do the cost rescans, and it took 3 or 4 hours. So here's kind of a visual of the environment. It simplifies, I can make it. Four farms, 8 servers in a farm at each site, so that's 16 servers per farm. And as it runs today, everything, all the storage is active in site A. So on an EVA 8000 syncing to an EVA 8000 at our recovery site. So ways to improve computer shares recovery process was first defining the recovery sites. Obviously, you know, the blade or a whole chassis could drop. Actually, I had a blade drop this morning. The SAN could drop. An EVA 8000 could, you know, not roll over well from a firmware upgrade, or, you know, to be overrun with locusts or something god awful. And then a site failure, you know, God forbid something happened to site A. We needed to be able to run everything in site B. So to recover and to plan for a server failure, we'll focus in on just one farm. Here you see all 16 servers in the farm, 8 in A, 8 in B, and what they have is a cron job that hourly tars up the VMX files and sends them to its peer. Keep in mind, we're in a 2.x environment here. So the VMX files on server A are compressed. That package is sent to server B every hour. B1 sends its package to A1, and every server in the environment has a partner. Now, planning for this, you have to keep in mind that we want everything to potentially be able to run at site A or site B. So that means planning for 100 to 110% utilization between the two. If I obviously had 80% running on server A1 and 80% on server B1, when I try to fail over, it's not going to work. So here you can kind of see that the split, you know, you add the two together and you get about 100%. We found that we can go to about 110% and everything run pretty well. So here we've got a server failure. Fortunately, we have our hourly cron job that's backed up to VMX files. So we need to extract those VMX files from the tar and register the VMX files as virtual machines on our ESX server, power it up, and away we go. Keep in mind that the other servers still have their partners and are still sending their tar files back and forth. This is just to illustrate the load that server B1 now has. It's taken the load of A1, server B1 is, you know, you're getting your money's worth at 97% or so. And this is the way we planned the entire environment. The other type of failure that we've actually had a few times, unfortunately, is one of the EVAs could drop. Fortunately, we do have a synchronous replication between our EVAs, and the EVAs are storing the VMDK files. So if I lose, you know, storage in site A, I still have my VMDK files in site B. And as we see in a failure, all of the servers in the entire environment have paths pointed to failed storage. VMDK files are still okay on site B storage, but I don't have paths there. So in this scenario, we have to go in and rescan all of the servers, which for 80 servers is extremely time consuming. They pick up their paths, the storage is good. And if you've been quick in this, virtual machines are generally okay. Event logs may fill up with SCSI delayed writes. You may have to reboot a couple of virtual machines. For the most part, everything is pretty good. The VMDK files are obviously fine. And the worst type of disaster that could potentially happen that we actually test on once a quarter is a site failure. We lose our storage, all of the servers in site A, and that we need to come up on site B. Pretty much a combination of the two recovery scenarios we just discussed, where you rescan to get your storage presented from site B. You obviously have new good paths, and you restore your VMX files. So we've got our VMDKs sitting on good storage, so we now have good paths too, and we restore the VMX files, register the virtual machines, and power them on. So once I worked through the manual process of, you know, the three major types of failure, I certainly didn't want to have to manually do this over and over. It took us 3 hours or so to do a lot of the SAN rescans. So I moved on to attempting to script the solution. through some power Googling, I came across something called Dancer Shell. Dancer Shell is a wrapper that allows you to have consecutive or concurrent SSH connections. So the beauty of DSH is I could issue a command, one command against 80 ESX servers or, you know, every other ESX server. So I DSH, I do the command, maybe it's hostname, and that runs against all or whatever is in my list of servers. It made rescans a lot easier. And the nice thing is it's consecutive or concurrent. So I could do it concurrent if I, you know, was focused on speed, or maybe I'm doing some kind of query or I'm looking for a specific file and I'm dumping it, typing it out to a text file, and I want my text file to look pretty. So I do it consecutive so that the commands come back in order. A little more technical information. Some of you may want to write it down. You know, you can contact me afterwards on how to set it up. But really, it runs in Linux. You download the DSH package, you install it, and you're pretty much ready to roll. From there, you would create your groups. So for me, I've got each farm, each site, and each chassis. And towards the bottom here, you can see the syntax, which isn't too convoluted. You've got your DSH command, -g. In the first example, I'm running this all against farm A. -r is for remote. It's an SSH connection. And in the first example, I'm restarting the time service on every server in farm A. I hit enter, about 25 seconds later, everything's done. And 16 servers run. And it really doesn't increase the time that much more when I do 40 servers or 25 servers. And the bottom one is actually the most useful and the one I probably use more often than anything else. And here we're rescanning an HBA. So middle of the day, requests could come in. Hey, we need 2 400-gig LUNs presented to farm B. I present it. I now need to rescan these servers to pick up the storage. So what I do is I issue this command for each HVA in the blades, and 30 seconds later, my storage is presented on every server in farm B. It beats, you know, SSH in into the servers or going through the movie options, storage management, rescan SAN. That gets old quick. So scripting the solution. I won't go into the code, although if you want to contact me after, we can discuss it. This is kind of the logic behind each of the scripts for each of the three scenarios. The first scenario being the server failure, which is probably one of the easier ones to recover from because your VMDK files are still okay. So script will extract your VMX files from the tar. The next step will be to register those VMX files on the ESX server. Just because the VMX files are sitting on your ESX server doesn't mean they're registered as virtual machines and are ready to be powered up. So you extract the VMX, you register them, and now at the end. And then you need to power them on. So once you power these on, several may complain, or a lot may complain, that the VMX file's location has changed. So you need to build in some logic to answer that question, whether create a new ID or keep your ID, whatever your prerogative is. To run this on my farms takes about 30 seconds to run. To do that manually, I think, I don't know, maybe an hour. The storage one is by far the easiest one to script. I think it's two lines. You're rescanning VMHVA1, VMHVA2, assuming you have two HVAs. And it's, you know, something that you can use when you're doing presentation. You certainly don't have to limit it to disaster recovery. And, you know, in this example to the right, you're rescanning to pick up your new pads to your new live storage. And the site failure script is obviously a combination of A and B. You rescan to get your storage so you can see your VMDKs, and then you need to restore those VMX files, and you need to register it, and now you've got all of your pieces to your virtual machine. To do 40 servers, which is half the environment, it takes me 4 minutes. So should I have a site failure, 4 minutes later, I've recovered my, in this case, 40 some odd down servers, 200 virtual machines, and it's pretty significant. Script takes 4 minutes to run. I throw another 2 or 3 minutes for all your virtual machines to boot up. You can certainly build in more advanced logic where you could set priority. You know, I want my tier one applications, or I want my web servers to come up first. You could certainly have those power up first and delay the rest. As of right now, we're just running it like this, and it's working fine. This is a comparison manually, which is test one, the long green bar. And that manual test involved four people, each taking a piece of the recovery process. So you've got a team of four doing rescans, typing in, you know, registration commands, and it still took 2 hours. Whereas with the script, we're at about 5 minutes, 6 minutes, and it's one person hitting enter. The scripts run pretty brainless, as long as you're not afraid of the command line. And that's a very significant, very effective and efficient way to recover our environment. So the scripts are, you know, fine and dandy, but unfortunately not everyone likes to use command line. You know, some people, a lot of coworkers that I work with are, you know, intimidated by using command line. They don't touch CSX every day, maybe they're a DBA, maybe they just do IIS. So if they were called upon to recover this, our environment, they'd probably freak out. So, moving forward, I wanted to make the solution available to people besides myself and maybe the other ESX administrator. So I looked at the virtual appliances. For those that aren't familiar with it, I think the website vmware.com/appliances is a very long list of very useful virtual machines. Here are just a few of them. For DSH, I knew that I needed a Linux-based, so I went with Ubuntu in this case. Linux is very popular. I needed something that had a GUI so that people would, you know, kind of warm up to it and feel friendly with it. So I installed DSH on the Ubuntu appliance, and from there I loaded up my scripts and tested my scripts, and everything ran just fine from there. So I now put that appliance on a server in Site A, server in Site B, on my laptop, on, you know, a workstation at the tertiary recovery site at SunGuard. I've got this appliance sitting just about everywhere I may need it. So the next focus of mine, which was uncharted territory for me, was building a GUI to run the script. I had no problem with the script. A lot of people didn't really like using the command line. So I stumbled across Glade, which is a GUI builder that essentially uses boxes and widgets to build up a GUI that you then have to code the back end for. Here you can see what I put together. It's not beautiful, but it does the job. It's got the three types of failures. You go in the drop-down box, you pick what failed, you hit execute, and you're done. For the recovery center, as I dubbed it, the back end is written in C. I'm not a C programmer. PHP and VBScript are more of my languages. So it was a lot of trial and error to get it to work. But there were some good resources out there. So once I built the GUI front end, I wrote a little document for everybody. And then for our future DR tests, I had a different person each time use the GUI. I actually use the scripts, but some people like the GUI. Reason for the Google image here is that, as I said, I stumbled across DSH via power Googling. I don't, C is not one of my languages. I managed to get it done. And there were some really good support forums out there. For those that aren't active on VMware's forum, I highly recommend it. It's a great place for ideas and answers. And I managed to find some good information there, especially with a lot of the syntax for some of the commands I was doing. Finally, this is my contact information. I know there was a lot of info. If you have any questions now or later or something hits you, feel free to send me an email. I've got a nice little document that kind of puts the DSH installation together for you. And I'm probably going to upload an appliance that already has it pre-configured. So, I'm more than happy to help anyone that may have some questions. So at this point, jump into some Q&A for those that have any questions at the moment. Go ahead.
Have you tried to approach using the solution when using RDMs? How do you deal with fixed paths?
For in our environment, the only time we're using that is in clusters. So we've got our cluster that's using that solution, and I just fail that over. They sit on storage that isn't that is set up a little differently than the rest of the virtual machines. So yeah, our clusters, most of our clusters, except for one, are on physical boxes. So for clustering, you may need to look at something different. You may not use the SAN method that we used there.
Okay. And how often do you replicate your data, and what are you using to do that site-to-site replication across the same fleet?
It's HP's Continuous Access, CA. Like I said, they're EVA 8000s. Our switches are MDS 9509s, and it's constant sync replication. So it's sync. It's always going. Should I ever have a break, I've got a perfectly usable replica at Site B. And I could replicate, if Site B is now active, I can replicate back to Site A, and Site A becomes my backup. DMZ we do a little differently. Our DMZ storage is split. It's not replicated. DMZ is a bunch of just front-end servers. The back-end is SQL, so we don't really need to get as complex for that. Anything else? Yes? Exactly. Right. So in VI3, you really wouldn't need to. It's already built in, first of all, and the VMX files don't live there. So yeah, for two, we've yet to make the jump. We're still testing out VI3. So yeah, it's tarred up. It's stored locally. We've had no issues. We've had no real issues with H3. We had a few things to work through. We've had a few performance issues to work through, but yeah, nothing from CA. It's working great. I'm an EMC fan myself, but they're using H3. Yes? About 25 miles. We've got dual rate fiber running between the two sites on two different providers, so it should, say, AT&T drop, we've got a backup provider. Yes? VI3's got a lot of the functionality already built in. It's got essentially the way the virtual machines recover is the same because the VMX files now live in an easier place to recover. I'm looking at building in some more functionality to Virtual Center personally, like detecting a SAN failure, which I still don't think VMware has done. It'd be nice to know when I lose a path and maybe take a reaction based on that, maybe do a rescan. Any others? Yes. Yes. You could. The powers that be wanted someone to have to push a button to flip over to the other EVA. So that's why. Right. You could automate the whole thing, but you run into potential issues with split brain or it failing over when maybe it shouldn't. If you use fail-safe, you could have an issue where site B isn't active, but it has an issue. And now failsafe freaks out and shuts everything down. Yeah, certainly some caveats to keep in mind with the CA. Any other questions? Yes. Each farm gets a collection of ones. So let's say each farm gets 6 400 gig ones. VNDKs live there. If I lose that storage, the ones are, the storage is still going on the other site. This one? Okay, so the storage hasn't failed here. So my storage is still in site A. The VMDKs still live in site A. It's just the blade has died. So my storage is still there, but my VMX files and my virtual machines don't live at the other site. We've got a solid pipe between the two, so we don't. And we're 20-some-odd miles away, so it's certainly not an issue for us. Yeah, we actually run the environment, about 50% site A to site B. I can demotion between the two, and you wouldn't know the difference between, an intra site A and cross site A to site B. And like I said, they invested a lot of money. It's unfortunate the recovery process was still pretty painful. Any other questions? Yes. Flat network. So it makes you know, certainly not running complex, you know, subnets. It's a flat network between the two sites so that having the IP address in site A and site B is kosher. Any other questions? Yes. So that's, I'm assuming, async. You'd have your VMDK files, but you obviously could have missed some data. I mean, the process, the recovery process could essentially be the same. It's that you now have that window where you could be missing some data. Fortunately, I haven't had to deal with that, but I think, you know, a lot of the scripts would essentially be the same. You'd still do a rescan. You just would pick up potentially old data. And I guess you'd really have to manage that bandwidth and that compression. Yeah, I've actually played around with that scenario with double take, and it's pretty slick. Yes? Nothing beautiful. It's a hot, cold recovery. So we've got our live vCenter box up in site A. It's a SQL cluster. I've got a cold box sitting in site B. When the need arises, I power it up. It's been my experience that in a disaster, virtual center freaks out. You know, you've got servers dropping and it's minutes behind. I really don't use it to manage a disaster scenario. You know, 15 minutes later it's okay, but in that initial disaster you're far better off using the MUI. Any other questions? That's it. Put up my email one more time. And I will make the virtual appliance available for those who want to use DSH. Don't worry after that. You don't want to worry about configuring it. And